So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings, and as you can tell by that intro from Bruce Springsteen, we are, of course, this week, finally, in the state of Nebraska. I know we've had some political stuff come up here recently, and we were unable to get to Nebraska, but this week, as promised, we are in that western state. Now, Nebraska has an area of 77,227 square miles. So it's a pretty good sized state, roughly the size of North Carolina. The capital is Lincoln, and the largest city is Omaha. Now, the major rivers in Nebraska are the Loup, which is spelled L-O-U-P, not L-O-O-P. Loup means wolf in French. The Missouri, the Niobrara, the North Platte, the Platte, and the South Platte. Its elevation ranges from 840 feet in Richardson County, is high as 5,426 feet, a little over a mile high, in Kimball County. The leading industries in Nebraska are agricultural, which includes corn, soybeans, wheat, beef, cattle and hogs, food processing, machinery manufacturing. The bird is the western meadowlark, the state flower is the goldenrod, the state tree is the cottonwood. Nebraska's motto is Equality Before the Law. Its state song is Beautiful Nebraska. And the origin of the name comes from the Odo Indian word meaning flat water, referring to the Platte River. The early pioneers, however, had a much different name for the Platte River. They called it the river that was too thick to drink, yet too thin to plow. Apparently, there is a lot of silt and sediment in the Platte River. Now, Nebraska's nicknames include the Antelope State, the Bug-Eating State, the Cornhusker State, and the Tree Planter State. Now, we know this mostly as the Cornhusker State. Of course, you know, Nebraska are the Cornhuskers. But the Tree Planter State is an odd one, folks, unless you understand what it means. The town of York, Nebraska, is actually the birthplace of Arbor Day. I was very surprised to learn this about 10 years ago, that basically a treeless state would be the origin of Arbor Day, but so it is. Now, there are quite a few things actually to see and do in the state of Nebraska, Let me just go over some oddities and specialties real quick here. A lot of entertainers, for some reason, have roots in Nebraska. And among them are Fred Astaire, Marlon Brando, Johnny Carson, Dick Cavett, Montgomery Clift, Sandy Dennis, Harold Lloyd, Dorothy McGuire, and Robert Taylor. And early in his career, Henry Fonda worked at Omaha's Community Playhouse, where Marlon Brando's mother, Dorothy, appeared regularly in some of the productions. So, very, very interesting. Now, there are 25,000 acres of woodland in the Nebraska National Forest that were originally grassland. Trees were first planted there in 1902. Nebraska had so few trees that settlers built homes from sod blocks, dubbed Nebraska marble. And Nebraska is the only state with a unicameral or one house legislature. It was established by amendment into the state constitution in 1934. Very interesting facts. So I'm going to start on the east side of the state and kind of work my way across the state. So we're going to start in Omaha. Now, George, what is Omaha most notably famous for? Aside from insurance. That's right. The former home of the Strategic Air Command. SAC headquarters was located at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska, which I have visited when I was a kid. My brother was stationed there as a photographer in the late 70s. So when I went to visit him, had the opportunity to go on Offutt Air Force Base. Of course, did not get inside any of the facilities, but they do have a nice air museum there. A lot of planes, a lot of indoor exhibits, demilitarized bombs. Very, very interesting place. So if you're in the area around Omaha, it might behoove you, if it's even still open. And honestly, I don't know. I'm talking about something that I visited a place almost 40 years ago. But if it is still there, they had a very, very nice air museum. Now, also nearby Omaha is the town of Boys Town. Now, Boys Town was founded by Father Flanagan, and I'm sure everyone is familiar with the Mickey Rooney movie, Boys Town, and the famous song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," based on a real event where two brothers were orphaned, and the bigger one was carrying his younger brother on his back through the snow, and finally reached Boys Town, where he was greeted by Father Flanagan. And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but the boy responded, "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother." And became very, very famous words. And I'm going to use that song for my outro today. Haven't heard that since the 1970s. I'm going to have to see if I can find that on YouTube and run that for an outro here, because I think it'll be very fitting and very appropriate. Now, once you leave Omaha on Interstate 80 and head west, the topography pretty much changes to open rolling prairie. I think it's short grass prairie. And the views are incredible. As you crest a hill, you can just see for miles in either direction. And very interesting thing, as you approach the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, on Interstate 80, the highway comes up to it perfectly straight, and then it makes a perfect half circle around the city and continues in a perfectly straight line again on the other side. So as you're driving up to Lincoln, Nebraska, it gets closer and closer, and all of a sudden, it appears to stop and slowly turn as you come up alongside of it, because the topography, there's no trees or anything there. It all looks the same. And as you're driving, the town slowly turns 180 degrees, and then you come back on the other side of it, and all of a sudden it disappears behind you. It's a really, really weird optical illusion, but it's pretty cool. So if you're ever traveling across Interstate 80, coming out of Omaha and heading west or heading towards Omaha from the west, it's a really cool illusion when you hit Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, the Oregon Trail passed through Nebraska, and just think what it must have been like, folks, back in those days, traveling from St. Joseph, Missouri, all the way to the Pacific Ocean in a covered wagon through hostile territory, both facing hostile Indians as well as hostile weather, blizzards in the wintertime, ferocious thunderstorms and tornadoes during the summertime. That must have been absolutely horrible. But as they were crossing the Great Plains, from time to time there were geological irregularities here and there. It could be a towering rock spire or an unexpected canyon that provided unmistakable and welcome landmarks for these pioneers as they were headed west. And the sight of these natural features not only assured the wagoners that they were on the right course, but also told them how far they had come and how far they had to go. Now, one of these landmarks was located along the Oregon Trail, and it was mentioned more often in the diaries of pioneers than any other, was Chimney Rock, which is a clay and sandstone spire that towers 470 feet above the North Platte Valley in Nebraska. Westward migrants jostling across the plains in covered wagons at a speed of little more than 1 mile per hour, hot riding there, could see the steeple-like formation for days before they reached it. And once they arrived, they knew that they had traveled 650 miles from St. Joseph, Missouri, and still had another 1,400 miles to go before reaching the Pacific Ocean. An incredible journey, folks. And at the base, they could enjoy a pleasant campsite, because there was a spring that came down from the base of there that was very reliable. It never dried up. So they were always looking for Chimney Rock. Now, the other one is Scott's Bluff, and I'll get into that in a couple of minutes. Right now, I just want to back up a little bit because I had gotten a little bit further west than I intended to, getting to Chimney Rock. But if we go back to the Sand Hills region, which is in the central part of the state along the Platte River, every year in late March, about 500,000 Sand Hill cranes converge on the Platte in the central part, and they're resting on their northern migration and their mating grounds up in the Arctic. And at night, they roost in tight huddles in the Platte River, and during the day, they scatter out to feed in the nearby cornfields. Now, during this time of the year, the sky from Kearney to Grand Island, which is about 40 miles away, is flecked with cranes as they just fill the sky. It's got to be an incredible sight. I mean, cranes are not tiny little birds, folks. So seeing flocks of cranes, 500,000 of them, it's got to be something to see. So now I'll jump back to the west here and get to Scott's Bluff. Now, this monolith is located west of the town of Gehring, and it is huge, folks. I mean, you can see this thing from miles away when you're going across the state. And this also, like Chimney Rock, was a landmark for the early pioneers. But the bluff was named for Hiram Scott, who was a fur trader that died nearby in 1828. I don't know, other than the fact that he was a fur trader in the area, why they named this after him. Apparently had a good deal of respect for him. But it's an incredibly majestic thing to see rising up out of the plains, almost as majestic as seeing Devil's Tower rising up out of the rolling hills in eastern Wyoming. Very, very incredible thing to see. Now, just north of Scott's Bluff is the Agate Fossil Beds National Monument, and this is located about maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 miles south of the town of Harrison, Nebraska. And the prairie here, I mean, it's wide open, and it seems just so stark and timeless that it really doesn't take a quantum leap of the imagination to populate it with herds of the extinct mammals that you'll find described at the visitor center. Now see, folks, about 22 million years ago, this was a grassy savanna that was home to great numbers of small two-horned rhinoceri and a small deer-like dinosaur that was only about 2 feet tall. But the dominant one that was there was the Dinohyus, or terrible pig. It was 7 feet tall and 10 feet long, with fearsome tusks in its large head. Now, one of the oddest looking was the Moropus, with the head and neck of a horse, the front legs of a rhino, the hind legs of a bear, and large claws for feet. Really, really weird looking. And proof that these beasts range freely here lies in the number of sandstone, or the layers of sandstone, where great numbers of fossil bones, including many complete skeletons, have been unearthed. Now, there's a mile-long blacktop pathway. It's not very wide here from the pictures I'm looking at, but it leads from the visitor center to the Carnegie and University Hills, where you can see under plexiglass covers of the partially excavated fossils that the paleontologists have laid out, and they date back to the early stages of excavation. Now, along the way, you will cross the Niobrara River and a remnant of the waterway that scoured the valley here and exposed these fossil beds. Only about 25% of the fossil-bearing sediment has been quarried, and further excavations are planned. And the area, of course, is dotted with wildflowers. It's a very scenic area. But if you're into fossils and dinosaur bones and things like that, I've mentioned petrified forest before, petrified logs. So if you're into that sort of a thing, this is definitely a must-see. Now, George is wildly tapping his paw here. I know we got to take a break, little buddy. When I come back, I'm going to start off with Toadstools State Park. Now, the name may not sound like much, but it's very significant when you find out what it is the gateway to. Be back in a couple of minutes, folks.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. One of my favorite places in the the state of Nebraska is Toadstool Park. Now, it's located north of Crawford, Nebraska. You take Highway 2 north, and from Highway 2, you're going to go west about 2 miles on a gravel road until you get to a railroad track. At that point, turn north and continue for another 8 miles. I'm telling you, folks, this place is out in the boonies. Now, historically, this is known as the Little Badlands, but it's very remote and it's unstaffed. But it has one of the most spectacular settings of its kind outside of Badlands National Park. There's cliffs and gullies, and there's domes of clay about 100 feet tall, and this whole thing creates the illusion that you're standing amid a toy model of a vast mountain range. But even more intriguing are the rock toadstools that give the park its name. And they look exactly like mushrooms. You have a capstone of harder rock with a softer rock that erodes out from underneath. And then interspersed with this is the classic Badlands landscape that you would be familiar with in the state of South Dakota and up through North Dakota and on into Alberta. But this is where the Badlands actually start. Now, this hard rocky material was left balanced on slender columns when the soft clay beneath eroded more quickly. And a lot of these are over 20 feet tall, so they're pretty good size. Now, these clay beds were deposited by ancient rivers as much as 40 million years ago. The erosion that sculpted them has been going on for nearly a million years, since the beginning of the Ice Age, and it continues to this day. You're actually standing in history, continuing as it goes on. There's a sod house that's near the picnic area, and there's a half-mile-long hiking trail that leads across the Badlands. And you'll have a pretty good chance of seeing elk and hawks when you get out in there. But I'm going to warn you, the ground is loose and it's very steep in places. But other than that, the walking really isn't that difficult. But I would recommend sturdy shoes or hiking boots, folks. Easy to twist an ankle, and you are a long way from civilization if something happens. And camping's allowed. But I'm going to tell you, it's rough, it's primitive, and there are absolutely no amenities at all. So if you want to get out in the middle of nowhere and get away from people and have some really scenic, rocky beauty, Toadstool Park is the place to go. It's open year-round, but during wet weather, you may have trouble getting into it, maybe completely inaccessible depending upon the weather. But it's an awesome place to visit. Now, while you're in that general vicinity, folks, just to the east of the town, once again, of Crawford, is Chadron State Park. And here you have a mixture of prairie, broken ridges, sandstone buttes, stands of ponderosa pine, and even occasionally some small streams. And the scenery at the Pine Ridge region has a variety and beauty that's unlike anything else in the rest of Nebraska. It's at an altitude of about 4,000 feet, with relatively low temperatures and humidity, make this area rather atypical temperature and weather-wise from the rest of the state, especially in the summertime. And folks, if you have not been to Nebraska in the summertime, the heat and the humidity are unbearable. Now, when you come up to the park, there's a divided road that passes through a gate, and it's got some brick walls on it. It's kind of scenic, and it's kind of suggestive of an environment that's really a little too formal to be off the beaten path, but nonetheless, it's there, and they'll give you some literature that they'll hand out when you get to the gate. There's a lot of activities there that include paddle boating, horseback riding, film programs, archery, tomahawk throwing lessons, craft classes, trapper stew, campfire cookouts. You can go swimming in the large man-made pool, and during the winter, you can also go cross-country skiing. But, I mean, this park is pretty far from well-traveled highways, and the only part that receives any kind of heavy use is the campground area during midsummer. I guess people are trying to escape the heat. But otherwise, the solitude is always close by. Now, this place covers 840 acres, and there's a hiking trail that winds through the park and extends for about 9 miles into the surrounding national forest. The park also has 5 miles of scenic roads with picnic areas sited on overlooks. And it's got a varied topography, and that kind of contributes to the unusual diversity of plant and animal life, as your eastern and western species kind of intermingle here. Now, the handout that they give you at the gate lists about 70 varieties of plants, 24 kinds of mammals, and 60 species of birds. It is open year-round, but admission is charged. But I have not been to this one, but it sounds like a very, very spectacular place to visit. So again, if you're in the area of Scott's Bluff, agate fossil beds, toadstools, you're going to want to check out Chadron State Park. Well, folks, that's going to do it for this week, and that covers the state of Nebraska. There's a lot I didn't get to, but that's for you to look into as well. Be back next week with the state of Nevada, and there is not much at all to see in the state of Nevada, so we'll see how that one goes. But in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, you may always do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, I'm going to leave out here with He Ain't Heavy by the Hollies. Till next week, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
The road is long. He's my brother.